Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Selected Series. This is episode 5, and we're here with Angela Edmondson of Rose Gold Salon. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for being here, you guys.
Thanks for your invite.
Thanks for having us, yeah. Angela. So, okay, so we'll go ahead and start. So what we want to know is, obviously, about your journey. We want to know where you got started. We want to know, like, what inspires you every day to keep going. So go ahead and let us know, like, how your journey started.
So I started 10 years ago doing hair. I went to beauty school in October of 2009. And I was the old lady there. I was 27. And when I got there, I was just, like, in shock. Like, I felt like I knew nothing. And the way I ended up going to beauty school, I was a recruiter for a high-end construction firm. And the market crashed, and we just didn't have jobs to give. And I'd been doing makeup on the side, freelance, for a while. And my mother-in-law at the time was a hairdresser, and she kept saying, you know, you should go to beauty school, you should go to beauty school. And I was like, I don't even know how to do my own hair, let alone go to beauty school. I mean, I've got kinky curly hair, and I was like trying to, I'd have to flat iron my own hair. I was like, I can't do this. I walked in the first day, and again, I was the oldest one in the classroom. There were girls there that were like literally still in high school, and I was so intimidated. But all of a sudden, they started giving lessons about hair, and I knew how to do it already. And I was like, oh, I swear, it felt like I had been speaking like another language my whole life. And finally, everyone else spoke it with me. And I went home the first day, and I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life. Mm. And beauty school was hard. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't hard like mentally or even like learning what to do. It was like hard because it felt like high school all over again. Like, I'd get really excited. We'd get like big names coming in to teach us, and the kids would be goofing around and not want to pay attention. And I would just get so frustrated, and I felt like I was going backwards. And I remember I had done a root retouch on one of the clients at the time, and my teacher walked over and she patted me on the shoulder and she goes, honey, you're never going to be a hairdresser. You are not going to make it. And
what'd you tell her?
I just looked at her and I was like, well, shit, I'm paying $30,000. Can I guess?
Yeah, of course.
I was like, I'm paying $30,000 to be here. I better become a damn hairdresser. And I went home and I was crying, and I just thought, I've got to do something. And I just took my doll head out that night, and I was like, just over and over, just practicing doing root retouches and thinking, this is what I want to do.
Why did she?
I was slow.
Man, fuck her.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really slow. And I just remember thinking, like, everyone else here is like 16, 17, 18, and I'm 27. I don't get to do this again. I took out a loan, you know. I don't get to have my second first chance again. And I just, at that point forward, I just like started busting asses, and I was taking classes outside. I was shadowing people at salons, and this is what I wanted to do. And when it came time to graduate, there was 80 of us in the class, and there was only 4 of us that got to go to state board. Ooh. And I was the only one that passed state board. And I'm not like trying to brag, but it was like, I just knew this is what I wanted to do. Yeah. And
what did she say after that?
She just said, you know, good you got your license, but that's the easy part.
No.
And she goes,
she kept
I'd like
putting
to
you down?
She's like, I want to see you in a salon. And I looked at her and I said, I already got a job. I walked in the day after I got my license, and I started working at like a barber shop. I don't know how to chop heads. I went to beauty school, you know, and yeah, it was an African-American barber shop. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. But they gave me an opportunity. And for like 7 months, I just did fades. And
oh,
and
so they really did have you cutting men's hair.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean,
I never
like,
knew that.
Like, no. You know, like we were close to a recruiting depot, too. So I was, you know, cutting Marines and Coast Guard guys' hair. And I was just all day long, and I was like, this is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to do. But I had to put in work, you know. Yeah. And one day this guy came in, and he was like, I want a mohawk, but I want it to be bright pink. And I was like, please, let me do this. And so okay. I just faded him up on the sides, and I bleached him up. I didn't know what I was doing. I just, like, I literally had my beauty school book in the back, and I'm like, how do you do a bleach, you know, bleach out? And I bleached him out and made some hot pink in the back, and I was like, this is what I want to do. And I was kind of tired of working at the barbershop.
How long did you stay there?
I was there for about a year. I got real lucky. I linked up with this guy that was like, he actually learned how to be a barber in prison, and I learned how to cut hair.
What city was this in?
This is in Beaumont.
Beaumont, okay.
And oh, shit.
Yeah, I was there for about a year, and I just wasn't like, I didn't feel like I creatively was doing anything. And I went to another shop in Beaumont, and I was there for 2 years, and the lady was she was excellent at color. I finally understood what color theory meant, and I learned how to do hair. But, like, we'd be, like, blow-drying out ladies, and the electricity would go off. And, you know, like, I knew how not to be a business owner from her, but I learned how to color hair. And
you did school in Beaumont as well?
No, I actually went to Maranello and Cathedral City.
Okay.
They're closed now. I went there. The classes are, I went full time. So I went Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, Tuesday through Saturday. That's usual hairdresser hours. And then I would go and I'd work like a second or a third job or whatever, just to make sure that like I could make ends meet.
And you're local from here. You grew up here?
I did. I grew up in Palm Desert. I was born at Desert Hospital in Palm Springs. I grew up out here. I've left and come back a bunch of times, but.
So for anyone interested in going to a beauty school, is that one school you would recommend?
So actually, Maranello is out of business.
Oh, shit.
So what my recommendation for anyone that wants to go to beauty school, find the cheapest school possible.
Okay. Even if it's out of town?
I don't care where you go. Mm. It doesn't matter. Just pass state board. Because that you are not going to learn how to do hair in beauty school. You need to find a professional hairdresser to just link up with and learn how to do.
Just ask
questions and just get your hands in hair. That's the only way. Learning out of a book, yeah, that's cool. That's straight, but it's not what hair is. Hair is screwing up over and over and over again and going, oh shit, I did this, I should have done this. So
and by screwing up, do you mean like is that like messing up?
Oh hell yeah, I've burned people's hair. I screwed up a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm 10 years in, and I was talking to this lady, and we were just shooting the shit, and I went to go and grab my texturizing scissors, which you use just to take out bulk, and I thought I did. And instead, I grabbed my regular shears, and I just cut a big old chunk of her hair out. I literally thought I was going to throw up on her. She was laughing really hard, and she goes, girl, you have 5 stars. How the hell did this happen? And I was like, I wasn't paying attention. And, you know, shit happens. Yeah. You know, in everybody's job, we all do stupid things.
Yeah. Of course.
You know, but...
Always learning.
So, tell me about, like, the state board. Like, I want to know... Was that just like a one shot, like one try thing? You got your first try. What's the process of that?
But back when I went, now you don't have to take a model, but you have to take a live model with you. You pay $500. They give you a kit. You have one shot, but you can go again in 6 months, but you have to go back to school and learn a couple of things, and you pay the $500 again. Thankfully, I didn't have to do that. Really funny story about state board, and I like telling young girls this, is it doesn't matter how good you are at hair. I walked up and there was another girl I went to school with, and I said, man, are you nervous? You know, it's state board. Are you nervous? She goes, nah, girl, I already got a job. I got this. I'm so good. She's like, I've been doing hair for years. And I was like, really? I threw up twice today. I was like, I can't breathe. Like, we went up to go get our licenses, and I'm standing there, and I was like, girl, I'm so proud of you. I know you did this. And I was like, I know I didn't get it. And so there's a list, and it has your name on it. And it says your name, and then it'll be like there's an L or a W or a P. And well, I thought the L meant I lost. So I was like, shit, I didn't get my license. And I look at her name, and it's a W. I look over, and I was like, she won. She won. She got her license. And I like give her like a high five, and she looks at me, and she goes, she's like, don't touch me. You know, and I was like, whoa, what happened? And she goes, I didn't get my license, all right? I didn't pass the written. And I was like, oh, then what did I get? And she's like, you got your license. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay.
Surprise.
The L meant for license.
Yeah, not loser. Yeah. So, like, if you want to go to beauty school, don't judge what you can do. It's all about, like, just focusing on state board, yeah. like, because I was the world's worst hairdresser inside of beauty school. I didn't know how to do anything. But, in my class, I think out of all of us, I mean, I know I'm the only one that owns my own salon, and there's maybe three of us that still do hair. And like I said, we started with 80 people.
Jeez.
And the turnover is just so immense because people don't take it seriously. Like, the really bad thing about this industry is it's always the butt of a joke. You ever watch movies like Grease and your Beauty School Dropout? You know, that 70s show, the sister that's like a ding-dong, and they're like, well, at least you can go to beauty school, you know? And it's just always been funny. The last resort. The thing about hair is it's chemistry. It's electricity. Yeah. It's, you know, it's learning all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, someone's appeal, too. Like, you don't want to mess that up.
I mean, the egos that you have. I mean, you don't want to bruise somebody's ego because you're so cocky. You think you know what you're doing.
I kind of can relate to that because my brother cuts hair. Mm-hmm. And the way he walks people through their haircuts. Yeah. You know, he tells them, like, look, your head is this shape.
Yeah,
you can't
absolutely.
Do this cut. If you have, like, your hair grows this way, yes. so you can't comb it this way. Things like that.
Consultation is key.
And
it's education, and it's continued education. I mean, you could walk up and anybody can, you know, chop your head and try to throw a fade on you. But if it doesn't work with your face shape, it's a waste, you know?
You go to a barbershop and they cut your hair and... You know, and they say, does it look good, mijo? And you're like, fuck, I gotta go home and get my brother to fix this. That's the kind of stuff. Like
they hand you the mirror and you're like, oh.
Well, because they don't ask questions. They don't do that stuff. They just see you sitting on that chair. That's $20. Yeah. The next person is $20. The next person is $20. They don't build that relationship and that rapport with that person to create a, you know, conveyor belt of like, you know, people keep coming back, but you know, you go to it once, and if they fuck up your hair, that's
you're never going again.
Never coming back.
So that's like common in the barber community. Yeah. So is that common too, like with the hairdressers?
I mean, that's 100%.
I think it even with nails and pedicures.
Like, like beauty in general.
Eyebrows.
Like,
so I always tell
how's the community? Yeah.
I always tell girls like from the jump, like you're not going to make any money the first 5 years. None. Shit. Literally, you need to work two jobs. If I say I made $8,000 that first year, that was a good year. Shit. I mean, it's all about just putting, grinding and doing what you got to do. And I tell girls, the reason why, whoever is getting in this industry, and your brother can probably back me up on this, is get a second job. Yeah. Get a second job when you start this industry because you are not going to make any money. But now you want that money and you're hungry for the money. So this person walks in off the street and you have no idea how to do their hair, but you know you need to pay that cell phone bill or the light bill's due, and you're going to do it even though you don't know how to do it. And then you screw it up, you get a bad review, and the cycle just continues, and you don't, you know, further yourself and you don't learn because you were so money hungry for that $75.
So you need a cushion of an ability to breathe.
Exactly. So if you're making money on the side, and you know, you don't have to worry. Yeah. So this person walks in, and you can take your time because you're not like, I need to do this an hour and a half because I need to make $150 today.
Yeah.
This way, you've already made this bill. And now this is just, you're just learning.
Yeah.
And that's like what I tell people from, you know, from the very beginning. You got to really grind this industry out because they'll chew you up and spit you out. If someone gets their hair done and they like it, they're probably going to tell two or three people they like it.
Right.
You screw up their hair, they're going to tell 20 people, go on Yelp, and then they're going to post it on their Facebook and Instagram and be like, screw this bitch, she tore my hair up.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're really lucky, somebody will get, you know, like you get somebody like Renee, and he's like, I love my hair, and he tells all his followers. That's rare. That's really rare. And so, and especially with social media, like you have got to really make sure that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So... from owning a business, like, do you feel like social media has more of an impact on your business or like Yelp?
So,
reviews like Yelp.
That's a good question. I don't like Yelp. personally, because you can get people to write reviews for you. Mm. And what's scary is people can say they got their hair done by you and they didn't.
Yeah.
They can, or you could have done their hair and you could have had a really thorough consultation with them and said, you know what, I don't want to do highlights on you, your hair's compromised. And they insist you do it. They're not going to put that in their Yelp review. They're going to say, she burned my hair. And I really don't, I don't promote my Yelp. I don't tell people to give me Yelp reviews. I don't, you know, tell people to give me a Google review. Mm. I tell them, follow me on Instagram, tell your friends, refer me. Don't use Yelp. Yeah. It's to me, for my industry, I feel like it's a lot of shady people on there and people paying for reviews. Like, social media is where it's at. It's posting, you know, like creating good content, you know, that's really important.
Yeah, what you do. And I want you to talk about, to elaborate on your Instagram feed, because it's different than like ones that, you know, yep. I've seen before. You've got your models, yeah, with the work that you've done to them, like to their hair, obviously. And then it's just like they're like models. You make them, yeah, look like models. Like, they're not only modeling your hair, but I feel like they're modeling like themselves, yeah, too. And that kind of brings out a cool effect, like not just for your page, but like for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how did that start? Like, when did you notice, or when did you know that you needed to make that switch over to, okay, I'm just posting pictures, but to now, like, this needs to look good.
Professional.
So I've been using Instagram for probably about 5 years now. And it was primarily like a little bit about me. You know, I had this for breakfast, and then, you know, the next yeah. day it was, yeah, of course, you know, a hair course, picture, and then look at me, I love the Dodgers, yeah, go Dodgers, and you know, that's what my Instagram was. And I started noticing a trend with hairdressers is that, you know, it was these companies were sending them stuff, like they were like, thanks Matrix for this free whatever, or, you know, they're getting sent to Belize and all these places, and I was like, shit, I want free stuff and free trips. So I started taking pictures. Yeah. And I realized, you know, like, my camera game was weak. So I just kind of just kept thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I want to change things up. And I started following a friend of mine on Instagram. And I noticed he was a really good photographer. And and I was kind of going through like some personal stuff, and you know, he had put a post up asking what people wanted for their goals for 2019, and I had inboxed him that I wanted to grow my brand, build my social media, and you know, become a brand. And he wrote back right away and said, I'll help you out. And he came in, took some pictures, and he sat me down and he said, what sets you apart from these big name people? And they've got money, they've got assistants, they've got this, they've got that. And he goes, no, they've got professional photographers. And he took pictures of my work. And I went home and, I'm sorry, you guys.
It's okay,
you're good.
And he sent me these pictures and I was like, oh shit, I'm a hairdresser. I can do this.
Yes, right.
And I just realized this is what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew I was a hairdresser, but I was like, I specialize in like crazy colors, like, you know, vivid hair. I want to do like hot pink hair and purple hair. And that's what I wanted to do. And I would put like, if I did brunettes on there and things like that. And when I linked up with Evan, he said, it's, you know, post, you know, he wanted it to be, you know, he was telling me how to make it more concise. And the way I do it is I do three pictures in like a series form. Mm-hmm. So I did a photo shoot. We did a photo shoot with Renee, and I did one here in the salon, two out in, you know, we did it in underground in a parking lot. And I started realizing people were like really hyped about these pictures because everybody has the same damn picture. It's right. Someone from behind the head, yeah. You know, whoop-de-doo. I can do that too. I can do that with a camera, you know, with a camera phone. But now I was starting to get companies that were sending me stuff. You know, I got companies that now wanted me to work for them.
Nice.
Wow. And it was the same thing over and over. Your content is so good. And for a while, I was super focused on, yeah, but I only have X amount of followers. But I started realizing, like, really big people in the industry were reposting my work or were reaching out to me, how did you do this, or things like that. And that was when things started to
shift.
I think
Evan was correct when he was saying that you need proper quality work, meaning, like, your photos needed to reflect how beautiful your hair looked, you know, to kind of push. And that's where these companies were seeing what you were producing, even though you didn't have the amount of these amount of followers or whatever, you weren't as impactful, but you still had quality work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, your work was speaking for itself like, within those pictures.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. You know, I just never thought I was as good as some of these big name people. And, like, it's not about, like, me being cocky or anything like that, but when I saw my work through his work, it was different. It was no longer just, you know, I can do that. Yeah, I do hair. Mm. It was, oh my God, like, this is
yeah, you're what on a whole nother level.
Yeah, I felt like a pro. I felt like I could walk into any, you know, industry, anything, and people will be like, oh shit, that's Angela Two Last Names, which is my Instagram name, but, you know, but I felt like I belonged in this industry. I wasn't just a, you know, someone that was trying to do hair. Right. I was actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's awesome. I think we were discussing when you were in cutting hair out of Beaumont. So from there, can you take us what happened after that?
So I felt really stifled there. It's a small town, and there wasn't a lot of money. And we were charging like $15 for haircuts for women. And I was having to do like 6-7 people a day just to make like $80-$90 a day. Mm. And it just wasn't cutting it. And I'm from here, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go a couple days a week and work at a salon in Palm Springs. And I found a salon in downtown Palm Springs, which was really close to the freeway. So I was able to commute back and forth 2 or 3 days a week. And the owner of that salon was very difficult to work with, but I met one of my very good friends there, and she had been doing hair a really long time. So she sort of mentored me because I had only been doing hair at this point professionally for 2 years. And I just realized, you know, she was going to help me. Yeah. She didn't know I had only been doing hair for 2 years because I didn't tell anyone. I just was like, I've been doing it forever. You know, fake it till you make it, baby. You know, I stayed at that salon for 6 years, and I learned a lot about hair, and I learned that I don't like working with people. I realized that I didn't like that. I didn't want people in my business. I didn't want people, you know, messing with my clients. A lot of times people were stealing from me. Mm. I was starting to slowly get things sent to me.
Yeah.
And I would come back and people would be like, oh, you got all this free shampoo. We tried it out. And it was like, it may be free, but, you know, like, I worked for that. And I like I said, I saw that shift in Instagram with hairdressers. And I realized I want to open my own salon. And right around that time, I started working out at 111 Conditioning Club with Jaime Jimenez. And we're the same age. And
shout out, Jaime.
What up? Goya Strong, baby. And, you know, I said, God, we're the same age, and he owns this business. I can do this. Why can't I do this?
There you go.
And I worked 3 jobs that year. I did hair. I worked for an office, and then I started doing working at the McCallum doing hair there. I just literally just worked and worked and worked because I really wanted to open this salon. And I was exhausted, of course, but I had a goal. I remember at one point I drove to the salon on a Sunday, and I don't work Sundays, and I was supposed to be at the, like, doing a Broadway show, and I sat down and I was like, wait, I'm not supposed to be here. Hmm. And so I took off and I went to, like, the McCallum, and the girl that I was working with was like, man, haven't you saved enough money yet? You've got to be exhausted. And I just realized, well, I don't care. This is what I want to do. And so I went to a lot of different places. And when I found this place, I was really happy because it was so close to Hyman, as you guys know, his energy is insane. You know, he just, he makes you feel like you could do anything. And something in me felt like I had to be close to him to keep that energy going, you know. And I opened, and when I opened this salon, I don't think I realized that I owned a salon. I just came and did hair. That's because that's what I do, you know. And not to like pat Evan on the back or anything like that, but lucky, you know, he said to me one day, I don't think you even know you own this place. And I was like, sure I do. He goes, no, you don't. You own your own business. And I legit thought to myself, I do own a
Hey, that's cool.
I started getting excited.
You think maybe it was like distractions or like stress, or what do you think was keeping you from, you know, like believing that yourself?
Well, I'm a pretty insecure person, even though like I might not come off that way, but I just, it was hard for me to tell myself that I had done this.
Well, because you were on the grind.
Right.
You had to stay focused.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Right. And I just, I knew. I knew I owned this because, I mean, I designed it. I picked out the decor and things like that. But I didn't put into terms is like, this is mine. No one can take this from me. Doesn't matter what shit happens in my life. No one can take this or the education that I have. And it really changed the game up when I started to realize, like, one, I don't have to have the people I don't want in my chair, or I don't have to do your hair for $10 just because back in the day you were my friend's cousin's brother. Like, you know,
homie hookup.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I've never understood the homie hookup.
I don't understand. It's like you respect the person enough, you would want to respect their grind.
But they don't, you know. A lot of people, like, that's like the dark side of this industry is people, you know, they take advantage of you. If I want to give you free hair, let me give you free hair.
Yeah.
Let me offer it to you. Don't say, like, so what are you going to charge me? Like, if that, like, people who don't do hair and they've got a homie that does hair, be kind. Like, we work really hard and, like, you know, it's like everything, you know. Don't ask for, you know, your buddy owns a pizza shop. Don't ask for free pizza. Go on your Instagram and say, this is the best pizza I ever had in my life, even if it's trash. I mean, that's your friend.
Yeah.
So for those that are looking to build a clientele, is that the kind of advice you would give them? Like, just stay away from, like, the homie hookups from the beginning?
I wish I could say that, but you need to learn how to do hair.
Yeah.
So there are going to be people, you're going to ruin their hair.
Yeah.
Ruin your friend's hair.
Right.
Don't ruin your client's hair. You know? It's like...
Yeah, take one for the team, man.
Yeah, I mean...
Shit.
I've given people perms. Yeah.
You say you give people perms?
I've given people perms, and I should never... I don't do perms anymore, you know, like...
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
So on the topic of free shit, what kind of free shit has you doing hair gotten you?
You know, I recently entered in a contest that we had to do a video. And I didn't want to do it because I didn't feel like I was, you know, whatever. I'm never going to win.
Yeah. What contest with who?
So it was with a company called Celeb Luxury. Okay. And it was a refresh video. And the first time, we actually did it twice. The first time we did it, I hated it. I cried and I was like, this. My model wasn't what I wanted. And, you know, her hair didn't come, not that I didn't want her hair just didn't come out as I wanted it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't happy and I just broke down. And thankfully, we were able to convince my cousin to come and be my model. She's really cute. And, you know, he sent me the video afterward and I literally cried. I was like,
you mean Evan?
Yes.
Yeah.
He sent me the video and I literally started crying and I was like, shit, this is gonna win. And yeah. We didn't win first place. We got robbed. But
As long as you believe, like, within yourself that you deserve to win and you knew, like...
I think you should, right?
That's how you should feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I got second place and... I ended up getting like $250 worth of shampoo and conditioner. Jeez. I got a ring light. I got this whole photo studio set up.
Yeah.
And
like, what's the worth? Net, like, if
that, I think they said it was like $5,000.
Oh man!
So
there you go. See, it wasn't for nothing.
And then how long was the video?
oh God, I don't know, a minute.
Yeah, yeah, no, man.
And it was just.
So you went from Beaumont cutting hair that you didn't want to getting $5,000 worth of equipment. You know,
you, like, know, you put crazy. It into that place. That like, makes me feel pretty good. You know,
crazy. That's crazy. That's dope.
Yeah, it's just it's changed. I'm sponsored by a company called Cricut Tools. And you know, they send me all of my like color brushes. They send me all, you know, my measuring cups and round brushes to blow dry brushes, all of that. And it's like, I don't have to pay for those things. So it's almost like I'm making more money, and that's crazy to me, you know. And you know, companies reaching out and like wanting. To see more of my work or wanting to work with me, that's like priceless, you know?
What up, guys? So we got Evan now, and Evan is Angela's brand manager. So a big thing that I want to ask is your perspective on, you know, you met Angela, you knew that she was a hairdresser, and then what made you see her potential in wanting to grow her brand? Like, why Angela? Why not anybody else, you know? Because, I mean, as far as I know, she's the only hairdresser you work with as well, correct?
Right, yeah. She's the only person I'm working with as far as, like, hair. I think for me personally, a big thing is the vibe of the person I'm working with, you know? Like, any of us in a...
Get a little
any
closer.
Of us in a...
there we go.
Sounds good.
Whatever kind of production you do, whether you're in music or say you're recording people or you do people's hair, when you kind of can control who your clients are... it's nice to work with someone that you're like respecting or you vibe with the type of way, right?
That's right.
So, you know, I got that vibe. I came, she had mentioned already about like saying what her goals were and what she wanted to do. So I was like, all right, bet, let me come through. Let me see what she's doing. Whoop doop doo woop. This is a world that I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I was like, let me see. And then I'm like, oh, okay, you're cool peoples. What do you want to do? Here's ideas of what we could do. And it just kind of like went from there, if that makes sense.
Okay.
There's a genuine piece of that story of saying, her maybe not being as confident in herself, you could flip that into like, even with like how we all know Jaime and how he could see somebody of like, well, I see the potential of what you could be doing. And it's just because I think individuals often judge themselves so harshly, they don't see their own skill set. Like I can do that with
definitely.
My own work personally, right?
Right.
So doing photography and doing videography for people, knowing that that's a big piece of the puzzle, especially from a social media and like just your branding, how you're represented, people respect you more just because it looks professional.
Right.
Even if that's stupid,
yeah.
That's how it is. You go to a job interview, wear a suit, depending on the job, right?
Right.
But we could come like this. Yes, and I could be way more talented than the guy in the suit, but they're like, oh, you're a clown just because of that.
Just because of what you wore.
Just because of that. So that's what I was saying to her. I was like genuinely asking, well, what's different between you and these other professional hairstylists? Like, I don't know this work. I don't know this world. Is your work, trying to be honest, as good as these other people? And she's like, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there's not really something they can do that I can't do. So I'm like, so are you seeing what I'm saying? It's just your presentation.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I feel like you brought that out of like, she brought it out of herself. Like,
right.
Just by saying that, like, she was able to tell you know what, I can't, I am worth it. And this is why, you know what I mean? Like, that's all it took.
I think it kind of sets the separation of like photographer or hairdresser to like, you guys are both like artists, I feel like. Right. Yeah. I think it becomes like, okay, fuck, it's this threshold. And then it's like, no, it's no longer just us taking pictures. It's no longer us, you doing your hair. You know, that's, I think, I mean, that's why you guys stand out. Like, why you guys do.
I get a lot of compliments from people, saying like, you're the only ones doing this.
Yeah.
Like I'll send him videos of people that literally copied videos that we've done.
Wow.
Like move for move. And I was kind of upset, and he's like, why do you care? We did it first.
Yeah.
What did we jack shit from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like real shit. Real, like on a real deep level.
Yeah. Right.
So y'all came up with the podcast?
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah, right,
and I'm the first hairdresser that ever was.
Right.
Multiple angles. Nobody else does that.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I feel like if you look at it that way, like you kind of just take all like a load off your shoulders, like a stress about like, I need to be like the only one. No, like everybody does it.
Yeah, that was.
And that's just like one less barrier that you have to worry about.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you keep putting these like, invisible
like
fireball.
I think it's natural.
Yeah.
I think
it
it's
is.
Natural.
Yeah, yeah.
To check sometimes
checks and balances.
Mine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody knows this music artist.
Right.
It's just for me. Right. Like, bro, right. fucking cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's mainstream now.
I tell him a lot, like, I'll say, like, what's next? I'm ready. Let's do this. Like, I say that, and like, I genuinely mean that. Like, I know that some people, like, they're like, they want to jump on and they're like, yeah, let's do this, but they don't mean it.
Yeah.
And I genuinely mean, like, where can we go? What can we do? What can we do next? And he'll throw ideas at me and I'm like, all right, let's just keep going. And, you know, people will ask, like, why do I choose to do this versus, I mean, you're just a hairdresser. And I'm like, yeah. But no, I'm a brand. I'm an artist. I'm
creative.
And, you know, this is more what I want to do. I love all my day-to-day clients, but I legit cannot wait for the days we do shoots.
Right.
And it's not, you know, like he said, we do vibe really well. We get along really well. We laugh and everything like that. But I don't have to be in my own head all the time. It's like, you know, like I'm a really trash texter. I'm the worst texter there ever was. I can't, like, I'm missing words and it you know, I get the, what the hell are you saying? Is this you?
Yeah
I know. I always say it's because I'm smarter than my, you know.
Yeah.
But
thinking too fast.
I can say, you know, like, this is what I want, and then when it happens, it suddenly feels like, oh my God, you know, I can do this. And I, like, I had a really hard year this year, personally, but I have told people numerous times, this has been the worst year of my life and the best year of my life. And, you know, like, on a personal level, like, you guys don't know, you know me from the gym, but, you know, I've lost 55 pounds this year, you know, and I work my ass off. I'm in a cast, you know, I've been, you know, and other people can relate. I suffer from depression and anxiety, and, you know, I had a really dark year. And I know that it sounds like I'm just building this person next to me up, but he legit saved my life. Like, I just didn't, I told myself when I went through what I went through earlier this year, you know what? Fuck it. Just go with the flow. Just be neutral.
Right.
You'd go and you're gonna, you know, it was a very negative space. I was like, just do root retouches, cut hair. Who cares? Don't even try to do your crazy colors. You're not in that space. And like I said earlier, when he put that post up, it was like, yeah, that's what I want. This is what I want. And all of a sudden, I stopped being sad.
Sorry.
All of a sudden, I stopped giving a shit with why I was hurting, you know? And all of a sudden, it was somebody who I consider to be extremely intelligent telling me, you can do this, you know? And it was not someone in my head saying, it doesn't matter. Why do you want that? It was somebody saying, why don't you want that? And anybody can apply that to anything, whether you want to be a hairdresser, you want to be a professional basketball player, anything. You don't have to listen to everyone that's telling you you can't do it. Listen to that one person that's telling you you can do it. And that's okay, you know. And I fell this year, and I got in a cast, and I told myself, well, how am I going to do hair? And I did it. I still did hair. I walked in here. I was in crutches, and you know, I was hopping around. Renee will tell you, I'm in a cast.
That Friday, she did my hair.
You know, I literally.
Great. She texted me like, "I'm fucking stressed. I need to do hair."
Yeah, I was tripping balls. Like, this one over here is like
you were
getting
like the first person. She
did. Yeah, yes. I do remember.
Yeah, that's and he's funny. Like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Because I'm gonna lose my fucking mind if I don't color someone's
that's
hair."
Exactly what you said.
And it was like. You know, people are going to shit on you all day, every day, you know, fuck them. That's what he tells me. Like, it's like, fuck them. Who cares? 90, you know, it's just like the Yelp reviews, you know, 100 people are going to tell you you're the shittiest hairdresser, but one person, you know, is going to be like, dude, you're dope. And you listen to them.
So I got a question for you. If you can go back to when you were in beauty school and your teacher told you that, you know, you can do shit, like, you weren't gonna be anything, you weren't good. If you can go back, or if you were to cross paths with that Angela, what would you tell her, or what kind of advice would you give her?
I would just tell her, you know, wait, be patient, hustle, work hard. You're gonna do it. People are going to be asking you to do things that you can't even fathom.
That's right.
There's gonna be opportunities with huge companies reaching out wanting you to do things that you are legitimately, like, the companies that I was learning how to do hair with are now contacting me saying, work with me. And a great example, like, we're actually working on something right now for a company. I don't want to, like, give too much away yet. But, you know, I got lazy and I didn't do it. And he messaged me and said, what are you doing? And I was honest. I said, they're not going to pick me. Why am I going to do this? And it was like, what are you doing? Like, I said, no. And he said, you know, the person that contacted you is so big in the company. It wasn't some district manager. Sorry. It wasn't some store manager. This was the vice president of the company calling you. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, they're not going to pick me. And he goes, if they don't pick you, the next one is going to pick you. And that's what I would tell my younger self is, if you don't get that job, if you ruin this person's hair, you're going to do the next person's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And the way I think you should see it now is that, you know, he gives you advice, he gives you confidence. And now, like, you're on a platform where, you know, we're asking you to give advice and to motivate and inspire, like, not even necessarily somebody that wants to be a hairstylist. That just wants to start a business or do anything like that. So I think
work.
You should take that with you,
grind.
Too. And, like, yep.
Work, grind.
That ties into your question with the confidence.
It's yeah. not.
That's where it yeah. comes from, the grind.
Like
yes.
doing it and failing. And then yes, just, like, yes. I'm not even scared to fail anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. I can keep yes. failing. Fuck it.
I also see, like, another big thing is, like, you don't like to give excuses. Like, you find a way to fix or solve your problem. Like, you find solutions, and I like that. That's like really cool, because I watch all your, like, stories and stuff, and you're always talking about how there's a way. Like, there's always, you know, there's going to be people that are going to be
That's what attracted
putting, you know,
me to him
roadblocks,
was,
but
was his honesty. Solutions. Yeah.
And I fucking love that shit.
Like, yeah, awesome. Same. Yeah. Same. Like, I would watch those and you know, when before we even collaborated together, I would watch those and be like, that's the kind of energy that I like. I like somebody that, like, is like, I don't give a fuck. You don't have to like me. And now that's how I want to be here, is like, it's okay if you don't like how I did your hair. There on this, on 111 alone, there's hundreds of hairdressers.
That's right.
Go to one of them.
And it's not arrogant. It's confidence. It comes off, for me, that I know what the difference is. I see it as a confident person. I don't see it as an arrogant person, because you know what your abilities are, you know?
I think some people...
You sound like an asshole. And I was like, but you don't know me then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I say that because people will say, like, God, he's kind of a dick. And I'm like...
I'm
thinking, but that's the best quality about him. Like, his confidence is like...
It's a strength, for sure.
It's because people can't deal... When people are too real...
No one wants you to be honest with them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and, like, that's how David is. That's, I mean, we can vouch for it. Yeah. Like, David is honest, and that's why he was one of my greatest homies, because I know whatever he's going to tell me is going to be the honest.
And that's why I chose him, because he's very honest. Like, I can say, like, we're going to do, like, I want to wear something, or I want to and he's like, he's never like, well, do you think the person you know, he's never like beat around the bush, and he's like, you know, he's like, this is what I said to do, this is what we're doing,
and everything is for, like, the best intentions.
Yes, absolutely,
for sure.
And it's like, he has my business in best interest, because of course he's invested in it too, but it's not to where he's insulting me.
Right.
I also, like, people get their feelings hurt really easily. And in this industry, like, that I'm in, or any artist or any creative, our feelings are on our sleeves, you know, because it's like, dude, I created this. Why don't you love it?
Yeah.
And then we're upset. Like, man, I put 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, you know, into this. And then, you know, Joe Blow said it looked like trash. And then there we are going, well, you know, if you drew it, you tear it up, I'm never going to do this color again. But in reality, who cares what he said? You worked on that. And you learned, like, next time I wouldn't put this color next to this color. Or next time, like, in my place, I wouldn't have cut her hair, you know, with this at this angle. I would have done this. And it's like you can fall down 10 times, but that 11th time when you stood up, why'd you stand up? Because you learned how to stand up. And yeah, that's sort of...
Hey, speaking on your content, and you were talking about doing tutorials and stuff, where is that going to be at? Is that going to be like a YouTube channel you guys are going to be putting together, or an IGTV series, or, you know...
I think that would depend on what happens with other companies, too.
Okay.
So if there's anything contractual, that would be more beneficial to, like... You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So if you're trying to push that content, like, it depends on... I would ideally say both. Like, there would be things that are
specific. You mean, like, if they're trying to put you on their platform in order for you to be, like, an artist for that specific company?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So if that's a move that people want to do... but, I mean, even then, even if you're doing that, you can still do content, I guess, depending
on... Non-brand specific.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you could say that word. Okay. Non-brand
specific. Is that in the works right now? Is that why you're...
Well, I mean, there's things that we're, like, trying to accomplish, but those are, like, future endeavors that we're looking to do.
Is there any future endeavors you guys could talk about right now? Like, anything that you guys are working on that you guys could, like, kind of, like, people could look out for?
I mean, I would say, like, figuring out that quickly would be, like, what is, like, the tutorial game look like and branding herself further, because that's where...
I know people where they can create like a business model, right? And then you'll go to their website and you'll download their PDF for a certain amount of money. Like if you wanted to put up like how to do a certain hairstyle, you can put it as a certain video and sell that content
That'd be kind of cool. Digital business cards.
Yeah, exactly. What was that called again? Wasn't there something like that for like videos or something like that?
There's like that. There's something like that for everything. Yeah. If you want to see like step by step how to build it, you know,
people will pay for it.
People will build, and you can buy it.
So, on that note, I just want to say that if you guys want to know what Evan and Angela are up to next, definitely just follow them. Go and plug your social medias.
So. I'm Angela, two last names, A-N-G-E-L-A-T-W-O, last names. And you can find me on Facebook at Hair by Angela Edmondson.
Dope.
Evan.
Yeah. On Instagram. I mean, I have other stuff, but that's really only where I want people going at the current time frame. It's I of Evan, as in E-Y-E of Evan.
Dope.
Yeah, just hit me up there.
Yeah, on that note, we'll just go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Evan. Appreciate you guys. And that's it. Selected Series, episode 5.
Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thank you guys.